I put a warning on here, a notice. Do not change, add, or delete one dot, comma, or spaces between words, and keep the format even though you may edit the words. Keep the format the way it is. I had one lady email me today, wanted to know why she couldn't take the mailing location off the bottom, like I said before, and said she could put on 8.5 by 11 paper. Well, what's your problem, lady? Are you too damn lazy? Are you crippled like I am and you can't get to the stationery store and buy some legal size paper? I managed to get there on my wheelchair and haul it back on my crippled lap. What is your problem? Are you in a hurry? Okay, you got an emergency. Well, do it right. If you don't do it right, it's not going to work for you. And if it doesn't work for you, I don't want to hear any complaints. You've got to follow it. You've got to own this subject. You've got to listen to what I'm saying. And listen to, what is this now, Angela, about the fourth recording. You've got to listen to these recordings. And I know they're boring, and I go on and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But listen to it over and over and over until you own this subject. Because if you think you're going to copy and cut and paste and sign this and have it notarized and certified and put it in the mail and it's going to magically work for you, or you're going to go in there and be confronted by the judge in the court and you're going to prevail, you're fooling yourself, because their word twisters are masters at deceiving and twisting and intimidating you. What does Scripture say? If you only have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Do you understand that this is what Scripture is talking about, people? Is not this world system, the government that you're dealing with locally, the county, the state, the United States, a mountain of opposition? You can move it with this letter, with the faith of a mustard seed. That's what this is about. If you don't believe it's not going to work for you, probably won't. I believe you can believe in negative things and cause negative results. I believe it's possible. Here on this line, you will sign by colon executor on law alert case. The office is first, like Queen Elizabeth, Pope John, President Kennedy, General so-and-so, the office is first, then you sign. The full name as shown on the certificate of birth in upper and lower case proper noun grammatical words. Capital David D, D capital D David, capital C Clarence, capital S Schwal. Say. And then the mailing location is exactly as is an executor. Top of the executor office. Why does it have to be there? Because we say it does. Do you know why? If you don't put that there, the bar fry is going to assume that you're located in that notary public office. You're back in the world again. We didn't put that there just to fill the paper up. I don't do things like that. This is not a 5-page document, it's not a 50-page document, it's not 100 pages, 150 pages, it's not a cotton picking volume. I don't create those things. I never have. I don't get paid to generate billable hours when I was battling in the bar fly room. My briefs and complaints and petitions and motions and all that stuff were as brief can be, where a lawyer would repeat the same thing three different ways just to generate billable hours and paperwork. That's their mind. It's the mind of the pro sayer and the law merchant, that they think that the more paper they have, the greater the power is of what they're doing. That's a false assumption. It's just more confusion and delusion. Don't we know that as simple as something is can be, the easier it is to understand? Why make something 150 pages when it only has to be one page? Makes no sense. Because all you're going to do is create a bunch of wiggle room for the lying lawyer to get around. You're going to make mistakes if you do that. the more you write, the more paperwork you create, the more pages there are, the greater the chance that you're going to make a mistake. Don't do it. Don't do as they do. Stop emulating them. They've programmed us all our lives to act like they are. Get out of the shadow of death. Get out of their lies, their delusion, their confusion. When you tell your children to do something, you take a half an hour explaining to them what to do? No. You say, shut up. Sit down. Go to your room. Clean your room. Straighten out your room. Take out the garbage. Take out the trash. Or please do this. You don't take a half an hour explaining it to them. So don't do it in your function in the executor office. And I'm covering these things because this is not the last time you're going to do this, folks. I don't care if it doesn't work for you. Eventually, you're going to come back to this. Do you know why? Because this is real. And it ain't real because I say it is. It's real because the law says it is. The reaction of the lawyers and the government officials says that it's real. And the rest of the, under there, you will put, or over to the left, you'll put certified document. You don't write the number there. People have to, I've seen them do that. No, you don't do that. It's a certified document. The number is already up above on a page because the passage lines are there. You don't have to write it again. If you do that, you put the number there, you now put a facsimile of the certified mail sticker somewhere else on that document and nullified those passage lanes. You've killed it. You might as well just crumble it up and burn it. Everything on here is for a particular reason. And then you copy to the Office of Governor. The corporate birth state of, well, what would that be? State of Maryland, state of Arizona, state of Washington, or in an instance of the few commonwealths, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Commonwealth of Kentucky, so on and so forth.
You would send it to them regardless of who you got the paperwork from?
Yes, you copy it to the Office of the Governor, attention the occupant, same as the top of that letter, whatever the governor's name is, Schwarzenazi, or whatever,
yeah.
Okay, and then the Attorney General, to the attention of them. If you want to spend the money and send it certified and include another cover letter, or don't, put another certified sticker on the copy underneath the other one. See?
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Do that. We don't believe it's necessary. They'll get it. The post office loses some mail, not all of it, and just because you have it certified doesn't mean it's going to get there. But you do have a record. If you want to do it that way, then if you have a few extra dollars, another six something to get it, send a certified and a green card back, 614 or so. If you want to go to the expense of that, then go ahead. It's not necessary. We don't feel it is. So you're going to take this block, all these blocks off here, especially these in the bottom and the red one, and I put that in great big bold print and red at the bottom for you folks that were, I'm sorry, the first ones that went out didn't have it on there. Because I don't think of those things. It's just automatic for me. I always use legal size documents. We've been doing that with the notary office for 4 or 5 years. So it's just automatic for me. I apologize that wasn't done. And I put it down there as a big neon sign. So that, you know, I had folks argue with me and complain that they couldn't get it all on an 8.5 by 11 paper. Well, that was after that notice was down there, I think, you know. Mm-hmm. So, anyway. So, and move this by executor and a name. I kind of messed up a little bit. I didn't move that over to the right as far as I could have. That's the creditor's position, and you want to be over to the right as far as you can because you're putting... Again, the estate and the executor office and the executor's signature over on the creditor's side. Now, who's on the debtor's side up at the top? And on the left-hand side here, all these corporate rascals, see? They're the debtor's side. You want to keep them there up at the top of the paper. the estate and the executor is in the neutral zone, in the middle, and put it in the middle. You've got commands on your word processors to put that in the exact center of that page, borders. Use that. I may or may not generate another page and attach it to these as more instructions, because these executor letters get passed all over the place, emails and posted on the internet. And the web links to go to where these recordings are not part of the documents. I could embed them in there, I guess, with Adobe. Maybe I'll do that. But that'll put more stuff on the screen, and I don't want to do that, make it more confusing than it already is for folks. But folks, when you're passing these around in your emails, or you see that they're posted somewhere on the internet and the links to the recordings are not there, that are in our emails under our signature, the links to the conference calls that we did out in Washington, the links to Angela's previous broadcast and Paul Madison's and John Paul Madison, and now Angela's recording for tonight, we'll have those links. You've got to notify those people that those recordings exist, or you're doing them a terrible disservice, folks. It's not to promote what we're doing. It doesn't matter that we're the ones releasing this. We're just a messenger. That's all. It's just that folks need as much information to do this as correctly as possible. You've got to be competent and do this right and not haphazard. Sit down and read this document. Think about what I just covered. Think about what you're reading. Why does this say this here? Why does that say that? See? And see if you can figure it out in your own mind without asking me. I've gotten lots of emails from people where they're asking me questions and answering themselves. And that's wonderful. They're getting it. Now our intent is working, because we want you to get it. We want you to be able to use this. This remedy belongs to you. We didn't give it to you. Your Creator did. When he breathed life into you and put a living spirit in you, in your mother's womb, he gave you this estate. Along with it goes the executor office. You know? And I really want you folks to stop thanking me. I really do. I don't want your thanks. I don't deserve it. I'm not doing this. I'm just the messenger. Whether you believe this or not, this did not come from the devil. This did not come from Satan. No lying lawyer or politician gave you this. It didn't come from the Internal Revenue Service. It came from your Creator and your Lord God, and they've heard your prayers and crying out in agony over this delusion that you've been under all your life and the misery you're suffering. And he's just using us as a messenger to get it to you, that's all. And Angela and John Paul and folks out in Washington and other folks who are talking about it on the internet. And we're going to have a lot of critics out there. I expect all the commerce gurus and the pro-sayers to attack us, attack this, because it puts them out of business. Seminars are over. You don't need Tim Turner's. You don't need a Tony Fisher King. This is the beginning of you being your own best friend.
Well, we got a lot of people lined up ready to ask questions, David.
Well, I'm tired now. I can go.
Also, what about this executive that got fired because of the letter?
Okay. War story.
Get that out of the way.
One of the notaries here, he's one of the originals, back 2005. He's been with us the whole time. He's been going through three garnishments from the IRS, him and his wife both. I'm sorry, he was garnished three times, and his wife was garnished two times. That is the one thing that we haven't been able to stop with a notary judgment as IRS. So we were not successful with that. He just got hit with an $85 garnishment 3 weeks ago. Notice. talked to the employer, they were going to garnish the $85 out of his wages. This is the same man that his wife originally used the executrix letter for the jury summons for jury duty. And it worked. This is the same man that used the executor letter the second time for the new ordinance for the township to pay refuse collection fees. They live on a farm. Farmers don't have trash and garbage. See? It's ridiculous. It worked that time. Then we released it to you. And it's worked almost every time since that. I'm told that Dave Max reporting that he's got 20 people that used it that he knows of and it's been successful 100% of the time. We don't expect it to work 100% of the time. You folks are going to make mistakes or you're going to go up against an arrogant barfly, a greedy banker, somebody that's terrified that understands that this is potentially going to disbar them, take their bonds, and kill them. To be a banker or a lawyer or a mayor or whatever they are anymore.
Is that what happened to the CEO?
Yes, that's exactly what happened. So this is Big Bob. Big Bob tells me about the garnishment and says, we do the executor letter on this. I said, you got it. We use the newest version. So we did an executor letter. It was directed to this chief financial officer of this large corporation nationwide. It addressed the issue of their intent to garnish a state property, say, by order of the IRS. It was done just the way I explained to you tonight, with the certified mail sticker put in the mail. His immediate boss was on vacation when that hit. She came back about 7 or 8 days later. In the meantime, the day after corporate got this letter, everybody's relationship towards Bob changed. Everybody used to be cordial. Hello, Bob. How you doing? How you doing today, Bob? You know, how you doing? This and that, 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 that. You know, you having a good day, you know, and this and that. All of a sudden, nobody talked to him anymore. They wouldn't even look at him. Their eyes would look elsewhere to avoid him deliberately when they're walking near him. And it didn't just to be. It was the ultimate deep freeze. Until his boss got back. Then Bob got an EIN number for his estate as him executor. His boss comes back and she calls him in the office, really just to chit-chat. She never said anything about the executor office. And they were finished with the conversation and they were just talking about how things were going, just general chit-chat, you know. But her demeanor was different. She wasn't her normal friendly self. She was, Bob's good at reading people and their body language and things like that, watching their eyes and things and their hand movements and this and that. And he detects tension, nervousness, right? And she's not her normal friendly self. And so they were done chit-chatting and Bob says, by the way, here's a copy of an EIN that I've received for the estate. That was described in the executor letter. She got stiff as a board, like a cadaver in her chair. He handed her the executor letter. Her hand reached out, and it was shaking, trembling. And she took it. And she's holding it there, and he could see both of her hands shaking. She's looking at it. She's reading that her employee standing in front of her is dead. See? And yet he's the executor of the estate of the dead employee. And it's not working in her, it's not computing in her mind. But she's already been told things by corporate. And I'll get to that in a minute. So she said, well, I'll send this on to corporate and they'll deal with it. And then Bob gave her another executor letter. Okay, that wasn't formally sent, certified, it's just handed her. And said, this is for payroll. You do not have permission to deduct anything from estate property except for medical premiums, for the medical insurance. You will deduct nothing else. And she said, okay, I'll get that to payroll and to corporate. And so he left. And that was on Friday of last week, not yesterday, week before last. So then Monday, by the time Monday comes around, things have changed, and their demeanor of the folks were different. Now they're talking to him, and they're calling him sir. He's not in management. He's not anywhere near management. He's not even a foreman. He's been with the company a long time. Nobody ever called him sir. They call the manager sir and the big bosses. All the big bosses and the management are now calling him sir. How are you today, sir? How you doing today, sir? You know, have a good day, sir. Everything, sir. Everything ends with sir, 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 sir with him. Bob is a very conscientious man. He's very particular in his work and this and that, and he doesn't need a boss. He doesn't sit around. He doesn't goof off. He's a go-getter, get the job done, and very conscientious worker. So it's fine. Then he came here Monday evening after work, and we created a W-8-B-E-N for the estate to give to the employer to remove that cotton picking Social Security number from the employment. Now, they've already garnished him. The week before the boss, his immediate boss, came back, they garnished him the $85. And they had already gotten the executor letter about 4 or 5 days before that, and they went ahead and did it anyway. So the big boss calls him into the office Tuesday morning. This is the big guy. He's over the whole facility. And he's thinking, what did I do? You know? And he goes in, and the boss says, how you doing, Bob? You look like something's bothering you. Is there anything bothering you, Bob? Is there anything we can do for you? Is there something wrong? You know, is there a problem somewhere or something? And they had changed Bob's pay schedule earlier this year. They changed everybody's, all the employees. They took them all off hourly and put them all on salary. And they based the week on 45 hours. And they did that to save money and save overtime. And they've been working Bob 80 hours a week ever since, working him like a dog for nothing. Bob's not happy about this, and Bob's a lot like me. If there's something on my mind, you're going to know about it. I usually get it off my mind, you know, get it out in the open. And Bob's the same way. And he said, yes, there is. He said, this whole pay system isn't anything like you explained like it was going to be. In the explanation, it was everything was going to be based on 45 hours, and we were going to be expected to work 45 hours. But he said, frankly, you're working me to death. I said, I'm putting in 80 hours a week, and I'm not getting nothing for it. I'm dead tired when I get home. I can barely eat, get a shower, go to bed, and get up and start and do it over again. He says, too much, 5, 6 days a week. Sometimes 7. They've been working almost a full month with no day off. 80-hour weeks. And the boss said, you know, he said, an opening just came up in your previous department that you were in. Would you like to go back to that? And he said, oh, that would be a godsend. Yes. He says, you got it. It's yours. And Bob gave him the, gave payroll the W-8 and told him to take the Social Security number off the payroll account. Bob called me Friday, yesterday, told me he got, he's been working in his old job, and he's just happy as can be. He's getting out of work on time. He's getting home earlier. Can get his things done around the farm. I mean, he's got a farm to run too, you know, and taking care of his family and this and that. And his butt's not dragging. He's happy. He said, the boss called me into office today. I said, yeah. And, he went to the boss's office today, his immediate supervisor. This is a woman I told you about before, to ask her if things had been switched over to the EIN number from the Social Security. And she said to him, I don't really understand all that. It's a foreign entity. He didn't tell him that, but she knew it. And she said, corporate is taking care of it. And he said, oh, okay. You know, and she says, how are you doing? Are you back in your old job again? He said, oh, yeah, I'm loving it. I'm doing great. And she says, well, you do a great job as usual, Bob. And we're just very happy to have you, you know. And she said, by the way, the CEO was fired yesterday, the CFO. Folks, if you've ever worked in big business, management does not pass on personnel-related issues to employees, especially when it involves other managers. And when it's corporate, the lower people on the food chain, They don't talk about corporate business, especially employees. They don't do that.
So why is she telling him that?
It's the executor letter. It cost it. She'd have no other reason to tell him. Sad.
Well, I mean, why would the executor letter cause the CFO to be fired?
Because his bonds were lost, taken by the executor letter. He lost his bonding.
Why?
Because that's what the executor letter causes to happen. It's a lien, without saying it is. There's no threats in that letter. You can't find them anywhere. It is. It's a lien. It's a judgment by the court from the post office of the estate by the postmaster, from the postmaster in the executor's office. And it's all certified, recorded, and registered.
Okay, so the CFO lost his position because the letter had been delivered 4 days ahead of time, but he went ahead and took a
garnished.
Garnished. Okay, now I got you.
That's one.
All right, now I got you.
Only the board of directors of that corporation could fire him. The CEO can't fire him. Only the board of directors of the corporation could do the chief financial officer. Timothy's out there near where they're located. We've been looking for stuff on the internet. We know the corporate name and the CEO's name. We can't find anything on the news. It's all hush-hush. Is it in the phone or am I doing it?
I don't know. I'm not doing anything. So are you moving away from your mic?
No. It sounded, yeah. I'm hearing somebody breathe. It's either you or me. If you're going to breathe in my ear, then let's make this a private conversation.
Stop it.
We know a CFO is no longer a CFO. We know a county judge. It's the big wig of the court system in two counties is gone. His son can't be found anywhere. He's not at his law firm, and they won't answer any questions. Call there. We expect that everywhere where this hits, there's lawyers, IRS people are going to bite the dust, and you won't hear about it, but it's going to take place.
That's like, wow, that'd be great.
Well, it is and it isn't, because we don't want to cause people to lose their jobs. Bob's coming in tomorrow, and we're going to talk about this, and we're going to see what we can do to get that CFO's job back.
Yeah.
If the estate has to bond him to get his job back, the estate will do that. Granted, this man's so much in the world, and he doesn't have a clue about anything and this and that, but he may not be a bad individual. You know, he's probably a family man. He's got a family to take care of. He's got his career, you know, and different things. And we would rather see people repent than anything else, you know.
All right, we're going to start taking questions now, David.
David, I'm about to be served on a credit card default issue.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Oh.
The trust is being served. When they're serving your paperwork, they're serving the trust of the Social Security account.
Okay.
The world has never sent any paperwork to the estate or the executor except for the certificate of birth. That's the only paperwork has ever been transmitted to the estate. They cannot come after the estate or the executor office or the occupant. And this is why they created the Social Security system, to create a trust where they could then regard us as trustees, and trustees have liability, say, where the executor does not.
Okay.
Let me interrupt you and expand on that. The foundation of that was our Father Yahweh created the kingdom of heaven, the first estate, and he populated it with angels, trustees, if you will. And he created an office of executor and put his only begotten son in the executor's office, the Lord God. Then Lucifer and some of the angels rebelled and abandoned the first estate and attacked the executor office and the occupant of the executor, and the Lord God attempting to defeat them, and they failed. Now they were cast out after that and cast down on the earth. And even though you folks, some of you may not want to listen to this, pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. When they were cast out of the kingdom of heaven, they were diminished in power and cast down on the earth. Those rascals are still here, but their power is diminished. And I don't believe that they have the power any longer to attack an estate or the executor office or the occupant. Since their power is diminished, they can't do that anymore. And proof of that is that Lucifer was the most beautiful angel that existed, the angel of light. But in the garden, he appeared in the image of a serpent. Why would he do that? Why wouldn't he appear as the most beautiful angel if his intent was to deceive, look your best? Because he's diminished in power. Why didn't he go after Adam? Because Adam's the executor. He's operating in the executor's office of the estate, which is paradise, located in the garden eastward of Eden. He's the first executor, see? And Eve was created from his rib as a trust. She wasn't created from the clay of the soil, like Adam was. She was created from the estate. Well, what's created from estates? Trusts. Isn't that what a marriage is? It's a trust. So what do they do today? They don't go after the estate or the executor. They only ask him for any input at all. They go after the trustee. They get mom to sign the cotton picking birth registration as the informant. They're going after the trustee again. They've been doing this all along. It's just mimicking what was started in the kingdom of heaven. And in paradise, in the garden. They're just repeating the same thing. There's nothing new under the sun, see? So the paperwork, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, dear, with all that, but all the paperwork that we've been receiving, it has the trust name on it. But because it doesn't say trust, you can presume, and rightfully so, that it's the estate being written to. If you do that, they can't do what they're doing. But if you acknowledge, which we've been doing as pro sayers, and I did it too for 20-some years, and all the commerce people were doing it, we're acting in the trustee capacity and regarding the paperwork as being sent to the trustee. The trustee is the one with liability. So when you respond to that and you don't do it as the executor, you're done. You're just finished right from the get-go. You got no chance whatsoever. Doesn't matter what you do. You're already defeated. But we have the discretion as the executor to regard that paperwork, the name on that paperwork, as the estate. And they can't do anything about it. Now they don't have any authority. Lucifer and his minions and his agents here on this earth that are running the whole world, there's all Lucifer's agents, are diminished. They can't come after the estate and the executor. So you have the trump card. See? Go ahead. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
That's okay. Well, there are several things. I mean, if my name on the birth certificate is an upper lowercase, and of course now I have a married name, so that's not the same as what I'm using now, but I understand to use it exactly as it is on the birth certificate, but does that mean that I do the upper lowercase throughout everywhere the name appears, or do I change it to, you know, just uppercase later on? Or is there any place where I put uppercase?
You always use the name exactly as it appears on your certificate of birth, not your married name, okay? Even if you're divorced or widowed and you haven't reverted back to your, what they call your maiden name, that's a woman in a capacity without an executor, potentially, or change of executor from husband back to father or uncle. That's what that maiden stuff is all about. Maiden in waiting now, so you're in waiting again for your prince to come along.
No, not
finally.
Not
oh, you are too.
Anyway. So I use the name that's on the birth certificate, which is the maiden name, right?
Yeah. And then some people are going to say, well, they sent in all caps, and that's the trust, and there's two different things. It doesn't matter. You have the discretion
okay.
to regard that all caps name as the estate name.
Okay.
Because you can get it the name changed on the certificate of birth to all caps if you want to. So at first we were telling folks to use the all caps name, and we were mistaken. Don't do that, because I wasn't thinking about you folks. Commonwealth of Pennsylvania issues, as far as I know, all certificates of birth in all caps. So I wasn't thinking of folks out there that I've heard occasionally that there are instances where in certain corporate states out there, and they are the corporate states, issue the certificate of birth in upper and lower case. Just use the name as it is on the certificate of birth.
Okay.
Period.
Okay. Now, where it says... early in the letter where it says you've got in the red box, it says all caps name off the certificate of birth, husband, father, or man over 21. Somehow I didn't get what you said about that. Does that mean...
That's the only one that can operate in the executor office. It has to be the husband, the father, or man over 21 years of age. 18, 19, and 20 don't get it. Not with this. No, you must be 21 years of age or older. That's the age of maturity.
Put the man's name in that spot there, right?
Yes, because in either case, whether it's a man doing it or he's doing it as the husband or the father, and I'm using this term wrong. It's his estate. And your estate and the children's estates are property of his estate. He is the protector of the family.
Okay.
He's the fiduciary of all of your estates. It's his responsibility to manage them correctly and protect them. Tom put his boxing gloves on and get his cotton pick and baseball bat out and trade it all in for a pen and conduct himself accordingly.
Okay.
All right.
His name goes in that spot, and my name would go in all the other places on it.
Yes, unless you are not married, your father's deceased, and he has no brothers living.
Well, we're separated.
Then you.
No, we're married.
You're separated, but until you're divorced,
right.
He's still executor of your estate.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to hear it from you, ladies. Okay, fine. I don't make law. Go back to Scripture and show me where I'm wrong. Now, you can function in the executrix office if there's no husband, no father, and no brothers of the father, which would be uncles on your father's side. Or go ahead and do it anyway, because Big Bob's wife did, and she's married and used her maiden name as the executrix, or her married name. And that worked. And I believe it worked just because it scared the Snickers out of them. And they didn't care that there were some defects. They just wanted to get rid of it. And it was just a jury summons.
Okay.
So it may work for you. But I'm trying to tell you the most accurate and correct way to do it, as I understand the law requires it to be done, to not have any defects that the lawyer can slide past it and continue with his mischief, see. So if you're separated or you don't have a good relationship, got an abusive spouse, or your children are taken from you and the husband won't do it, then you, as the trustee, actually have the duty to operate in the executrix office, because the executor is malfeasant and misfeasant. He's not doing his job. So the duty then falls on you. So function in the executrix office. Those are not my opinions. Everything I tell you folks is all based on principles and maxims of law. Everything is. I'm not going to tell you wrong. If I don't know, I'm going to tell you I don't know. Good questions, dear.
Yes.
Good night, folks.
No, not yet. Nope. We've got a whole bunch of people here, David.
Okay. The Office of Court Administrator, in the state of South Carolina, the state controller is the chief financial officer. So would he be the one in the state of South Carolina that we would send this paperwork to?
Never to him.
Never to him?
Never.
Okay.
That's not a judicial office. That's an executive office.
All right.
Branch. And if it's going to be an executive office, like a state revenue issue or something like that, then you would write to the chief counsel of the Department of Revenue for the state. You always go to the lawyer in the highest position.
So that would be like the United States Court Administrator?
Not for a state court issue. It would be this South Carolina Court Administrator for the Supreme Court. Not the clerk, not the cassonetary. The administrator's office. You're not filing anything. You do not send this to any cotton-picking barfly courts. Those clerk's offices are only there to serve the barfly industry.
Right,
you're
right.
Not involved in that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and
go on the state website. Look for the link to this their Supreme Court or their unified court system, their court link. Go on there and look for the court administrator's office. It is not the clerk, I guarantee you that. It's not the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the state. Although, in some instances, maybe he's acting as the court administrator. You do not want to write to a judge. You want to write to the lawyer.
Okay.
The highest lawyer on the food chain. They're the ones that know about all the bonding and going on in the private side in the background. And they know what the law is. And they're going to do something about it. Do you know why? Because the guy down in the mailroom signed for that certified mail before he even got to open it. He stuck with it. He delegated that responsibility to that mailroom supervisor to sign for his certified mail. He's finished. He's got the certified document in his hand. It's got his name on it in his office that he's occupying. He's
okay,
got to
right
do something.
Here where it says regarding unauthorized administration of name of state, it says docket, whatever. Just put the court case number underneath or in them.
That's it, and identify the court somehow as the county, whatever the county is. Butler County,
Madison County, or whatever.
Yeah, Harford, whatever it is, York County. County of, it's a county, it'll always be the county of. So that they can find that docket. There it probably is not a duplicate of that docket number anywhere in their state court system. But narrow it down for them as much as you can. They'll go into their state computer system and they'll just type in your name, and if that's the name on the court case, it'll come up and they'll find a docket number. But make it easy for them.
Excuse me. Also in this enclosed, you will find the first paragraph. Enclosed, you will find abandoned paperwork which appears to erroneously allege that it says put the name and title of the author who signed the paperwork. Say if an attorney signed the paperwork on some of the paperwork, but a paralegal of that attorney sent some of the paperwork, do you still put it under the one name of the attorney?
Yes, the paralegal signs for the attorney. They're functioning under the authority of the attorney's bar card and bond.
Okay.
And maybe it's a collection lawyer letter from a lawyer. It doesn't matter. Who gave him his bond? Where does he get his bar license from? The state Supreme Court. And who administers those licenses? The court administrator.
Okay.
So you send it to that court administrator at the state level.
The paragraph 2, where it says here the name of state has been warranted together with a certified copy of your oath for the office of, I got that. That's attorney at law. The first one here where it says first paragraph, it says place the name and title of the author who signed the paperwork and so on and so forth. Would you put, like, private law bar card number? Where it says here, private law bar card enrollee in the state bar association? Or do you put their name?
Attorney at law and their bar card number, if you have it. If it's a police officer, Then you put the officer's name down. If it's our zoning officer that is worried about your lawn not being mowed, or you got a private vehicle that's not registered and tagged and inspected sitting there on your private land, and he's concerned about that, then you put his office of zoning officer or whatever it is in his name there.
This would be foreclosure, an attorney. So I just put the attorney at law and then put her name.
Is this a court case?
Yes.
Okay, then you're going to put the court docket number up there, and yes, it's the lawyer that filed the foreclosure action. That's her name, and if her bar card number is on that paperwork, then put it on there. If it's not there, go to the state Supreme Court website and look for a link where you can search for registered attorneys and put their name in there, and be careful that you got the right one. And the right bar card number, it'll have an address there wherever their law office is. Okay. And be careful it's not a father or a grandfather or something like that. Watch the date of the licensing or their age. Be careful. You've got to be careful with us and get the right lawyer. See?
So just put the attorney at law's number. She's an attorney at law. And put the court document number and her barcode number if I can find it.
Yeah. Do you have version 6 of the executor letter?
Yes.
Okay.
And down here also where it says all caps name, certificate of birth, husband or father, if you're an executrix instead of an executor, do you put from your executrix office and then your name and estate?
You do, dear.
Okay, that's what I thought. Thank you so much, David. Bless your heart.
Tell Mama I said hi and the kitties.
She's right here.
Hey, Mom.
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good, dear.
Thank you so much, David.
Praise Yahweh.
I was born in Washington, D.C. My father was in the Army. Is there anything special I need to do?
Nope, you got a certificate of birth issued from the District of Columbia. That's actually Maryland. It's
actually, in reality, it's
a Maryland certificate of birth. There is no District of Columbia. That's still Maryland. But yours says D.C., and that's what you use, and the file number off there.
Okay, the other thing is I don't have a first name on my birth certificate, just my middle and last.
And that's what you use?
So my first name just drops off of there.
It does. You can probably get that record corrected if you want to. Or just leave it as it is, especially if the world is using a first name on all their paperwork. Is the first, middle, and last name on the Social Security account?
Yes.
Okay, they're probably sending everything first, middle, and last, or middle initial.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And using the middle name and the last name may not look like it's the same entity, and you don't want it to, because you want to regard it as an estate issue and not as a trust issue. In the trust issue, in the trust capacity, you're liable, potentially liable. In the estate and the executor office, you're not.
I got that part. I should have checked it earlier. I think got copies of it for another process I was doing, copies of my birth certificate or certificate of birth. And I think it does have my first name on there, so they just put it on now, or?
Whatever it's showing, the most current one.
I mean, I have the real old copy that's been, since I was a kid, I have.
That's from the hospital with your footprints on it?
No. I'm 63, so I don't know if they did it back then or not.
Yeah, they did.
They did. No, well, then that.
Yeah, on the live birth record from the hospital, and the one that went to the state, and another one went to Department of Commerce.
Well, maybe I should.
Census Bureau. There were two live birth certificates. The long form. One was sent to the state, and the other one was sent to the Bureau of Census. That has your footprints on, I guarantee it.
So I should...
And maybe there's instances where somebody was born at home. I don't know what they've done with that, but then there may not be a footprint record. But they're
the number would
assuming,
be the, right?
Yeah, it's the number.
Because no matter what on the number is the one that is going to, because, yeah, I don't know whether to put Stephen David DeRose. You're telling me just put David DeRose because that's all.
Whatever your latest certificate of birth is showing, whatever the latest one that you've gotten, use that.
Okay.
And the file number, yeah, you only use the file number in the instance of someone else, the wife or the child.
So I don't use my file number at all. Okay,
no, you don't use it anywhere in that document. That's private estate business. They have no, it's none of their business what it is. And that is where the estate is located, is that file number.
Okay.
That's the record. That's where the state address, that's its address, it's a location, that's where the estate is. Not where the where you are or the executor office. You are the office and you occupying it is mobile. You can go anywhere, but the estate cannot. The estate is restricted to that file. See?
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good question. I haven't heard of somebody that didn't have their first name on their certificate of birth before.
I'm not happy to be the first.
It may work out in your to your advantage, after all.
Okay, we have Kokomo Joe. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening. Does them or does the attorney suing you in a name that is not your complete birth certificate name matter?
Well, they're never going to. They're probably never going to. Well, it may be similar if the name on the certificate of birth and the name on the Social Security account is the same. It may appear the same. But I believe that in most instances you will find the name of the Social Security card or account is who's getting the paperwork directed to, because that's your Achilles heel. They can come after you in that trust capacity, see, in that trustee capacity. That's why they'll use that. They won't, if there's a difference between, like that last gentleman or yours, between the certificate of birth and the Social Security, they'll use the name off the Social Security account, because that Social Security account number is connected to everything you've done in the world system. Everything. They've always asked you for that. Driver's license, school registration, bank accounts, credit cards, everything. Military. Just everything. Insurance. They want that. That's because that's your vulnerable side, see, that the world can then attack you. They can't attack you in the executor capacity.
Well, they've used all different names in different places. Some use my full first, full middle, full last, most of the stuff, and my Social Security has my full first, middle initial, full last, and they sued me and my full first and my full last.
Doesn't matter. Ignore all that. You're coming back as the executor, and it's an estate issue. Ignore what they've done and how they've used your names and variations of it, because those are all barfly tricks to put you in a standing where you're vulnerable to them, see? And so you ignore that. It's a disadvantage, it's a disability to you, so ignore the disability. You use the name off of the certificate of birth, and you sign it the same way. If it's your full name, first, middle, and last, or you have two middle names, or whatever the variable is on that certificate of birth, that's how you sign it. You just sign it in upper and lower case, capitalizing the first letter of each name. Proper English grammar.
Okay, and for those of us who did the commerce guru thing and went in with trying to do the accepted for value and all that, and then went in as a trustee, will that nullify anything?
No, that matters not. Everything that you've done in the world under that trust, that Social Security and the number, you've done as an incompetent. In the eyes of the law, that's why they're coming after you, because you haven't been functioning in the executor office. And that's the way they treat you in their courts. They tell you you've got to have an attorney. That what they're telling you is you're incompetent. See? So they're always treating us as incompetents in the world system because they know so much. They know the secrets. See? So they look down on us, but I know a secret you don't know. You know? And I can lord over you. And you don't know why. See? So it doesn't matter what you've done in the past, with that, whatever procedures, doesn't matter what paperwork you've filed, doesn't matter what UCC liens or other misguided concepts you've used in the past, you've always done those things as in the capacity of an incompetent. Now when you change your status, and that's what it's all about, folks, it's about status. Are you the queen? Are you the king? Are you the president? Or are you the taxpayer, consumer, peon, defendant, whatever? Are you going to now function in the executor office, which is above all of their deluded, worldly invented capacities? You're superior to, not superior, but you're in a superior position in law to them. So forget about what you mistakes that you've done in the past, and I've made enough of my own, you know.
Is there any reason a person would want to change property designations, such as the county recorder for property owned and whatnot?
No, like, I wouldn't move anything over under the estate. No vehicles, no bank accounts, credit cards, driver's license. Do not sign anything as executor at this time, except for this letter. Do not do that, folks. There's no advantage to you doing that at the moment. We're the ones experimenting with this stuff. If you want to take it on yourself to go ahead and experiment and be a guinea pig, then that's fine. We're trying to do it for you. We have a little, possibly a little better understanding than you do. You may be far smarter and intelligent than we are. I don't know. And there's going to be lots of folks out there that are. And if you think you got a better way, then go ahead and do what you want to do. But I'm not responsible for it. You know, that's it. There's no advantage, to answer your question, there is no advantage to changing everything. Say, except your mail. If you're going to do a change of address to general post, even if you're going to keep getting mail at your home address, you can still do a change of address to the description that's on the top of that executor letter at general post, 9998 United States Minor, Outlying Islands. And now you put it in the estate name there. And your name is executor. And do a change of address if you want to. And do it for the whole family. Because the whole family is under the executor's estate. Their estates are all property. Unless it's a male son living there. Or a brother or somebody that's over 21. You can do that. I think that's an advantage. Do a change of address. And I'll tell you what one of the men has done. And let me tell you, this is a war story. He lives West Hollywood. And his nearest main post office, and you can't do this at a branch office, satellite office, you've got to change your general post location if you're going to go to the post office and pick up your mail, as you should do. All right. He had to change it to a post office in Los Angeles over the line from Hollywood, gang zone. Okay. The people that work there are not real friendly. they're a little cold, you know, and stuff like that. And I imagine it's a very busy post office. Not far busier than what we have around here in York. But he did a change of address, and he included the executor letter with the change of address, reformatting it and taking out the abandoned paperwork and all this other stuff, and just informing the post office, the postmaster, at 9999. That he was changing his mailing he was changing the mailing location of the estate, and the mail directed to the estate or the executor office or the occupant to general post at the post office, and no longer getting his mail delivered at his apartment complex. He took out all the other stuff, so here's somebody that modified it, and that's fine. And he put his phone number on there. He got a phone call. I've never heard of the post office calling anybody about a change of address before. And most of the time, when people have gotten communications from the post office involving general post in the past, it's been a letter of denial. Because we didn't have the discernment then, Yeshua hasn't given us the discernment of the United States Minor Outlying Islands and the 9998, although I used that for years, that was the defect. He got a phone call that they had received his request, and he sent it certified. He put the certified sticker on there and everything, put it in an envelope, included a change of address card and envelope along with the executor letter. He got a call from the post office informing them that they had received that and they were working on it. They were looking into it. That was on, a Monday. He had gone there earlier in the morning and called for his mail at General Post. And the clerk there said they didn't have any. And he said, "Oh, I'd like to speak to the supervisor." And the supervisor didn't want to come out and speak to him. And he thought that was kind of rude. And, you know, so he had to make two or three requests and then stand his ground and just say, "Well, I'm not moving on until I get to see the supervisor, speak with him." So he finally came out. This man was nervous. And he treated this man with respect. He didn't treat him as some kind of patriot, right-wing nut or something like that, you know. He treated him respectfully. And told him that they were working on it, that he couldn't use that post office, and that's the one he had directed it to. It was a satellite in West Hollywood, that there was going to have to be another post office used, and they weren't sure which one that was going to be yet. And it was being looked into, and they would get a hold of him. And then he called him that afternoon, or somebody did. The next day, Tuesday, they called him twice, two more times. The second phone call was to tell him that they had located where the post office should be, and they were working on getting that switch to the other post office that he was going to have to use. And then the third phone call in the afternoon of Tuesday, the second day, was to inform him it was a done deal. And then he got something in writing that it had been done. And he went in there to call for his mail, and those people were kind of, and every time he's going in there, and they gave him a phone number. He doesn't have to go down to the post office to see if he's got mail. They provide him with a phone number he can call this L.A. post office and ask if there's anything there. Imagine that. They don't do that to me around here. I got to go in a wheelchair. He's getting the royal treatment, see? So he calls, and when somebody answers, they're kind of coarse, cold, grumpy, and he tells them the name. Their whole attitude changes on the phone. Oh, yes, thank you. Just a minute, and let me check. Their whole demeanor changes. And when he goes in there, it's the same with the clerks in this L.A. post office where he has to use. It's the main post office, satellite or branch. comes up to the clerk's window, and they're kind of cold and impersonal and this and that, and I'm calling for my mail, or what's your name? And he tells him his name. Their whole attitude and demeanor changes. I'll check right away and come back and ask him, is there anything else we can do for you, sir? They treat him differently. Why is that? I don't know. But this is what I do know. Those postal employees, the only thing they know is what's in that domestic mail manual, the DMM, the dumb mailman's manual, that dumbs down the mailman. They know that, and they're all talking about it. They're putting this mailing location in their post office computer for the United States minor outlying islands for Los Angeles at that post office zip code plus 9998, and it's coming up as a valid mailing location. And it ain't computing for them. It ain't making sense. They don't know what's going on. They may not understand the executor office. They may not have any knowledge of the executor letter, but this is what they do know. These folks are under scrutiny all the time by the postal inspectors. Everything they do is watched and recorded and this and that. They don't know who he is. They don't know what his status is. He could be a dignitary or an ambassador or somebody important. But it's trouble for them, and they don't want nothing to do with it. So they're just going to treat him with respect, and they can't figure out that L.A. ain't out there 3,000 or 4,000 miles in the Pacific Ocean. That's what's going on. They don't know, and they don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want to tangle cross wires with him, see?
Okay, but David,
that's all.
We don't. He has his mail going to the post office, but that doesn't mean I have to have it go to the post office.
No, you can have it delivered at home. I told you earlier that if you do a change of address to General Post at your home address, you've now changed your home into the post office.
Okay.
Do not. If you're going to haul a flag up out there, don't haul it up a pole. Get a civil flag of the United States and hang it from its field edge, and don't put it on a pole, hang it down like a banner, like it's supposed to, for the post office. If you want to do that, you don't have to. Well, did that answer that man's question?
God, I hope so, because I don't know who he was. He's gone.
Another one of my long, drawn out responses, and a little bit of a war story in there.
Go ahead, Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm stuck in this one. Certainly, if I'm off base, just let me know. It's been rocking on for a year now. In Washington State, employees pay a portion of their insurance. Had a shoulder injury. Everything was fine until I moved home. He said, I'm going to have to give you a new agent. The new agent straight up said, I don't like the guy. I'm disavowing everything, and it's as of last week, it's going to a court. I've got a court document, and they changed me to the all caps name. So I'm not sure if this is a private matter or I can use the letter in this.
You can use the executor letter in any instance of any paperwork, no matter what it involves. Who filed the court case? You or the insurance company?
It's the insurance company. It went through mediation and so forth. What threw me is it says, please take notice, the Department of Labor Industries appears in action by and through McKenna, the Attorney General. So that threw me because I'm supposed to send
That's
a letter.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. That's the best of all worlds. I couldn't be a better position for you.
Okay.
It's just gotten picking responsibility to protect the estate.
Well, I've now moved to Oklahoma, so I'd be sending the copy to my Oklahoma Attorney General.
Okay, where'd the claim originate?
Washington State.
Okay. You're going to, you're now residing on Oklahoma?
Yes.
Okay, where's your birth state?
Oklahoma.
You send it to both
okay.
governors, both attorney general offices, as far as copies. Now, the original one, is to that attorney general. He's the chief attorney, a law enforcement official for the corporation, for the state. That insurance claim in its full amount is property of the estate. And that claim number is property of the estate. You got them. I don't care what it's going through. They're done.
Yes, I love it.
Bingo.
Thank you for your time.
Don't thank me. Thank your Father Yahweh.
I do.
I serve him. And I'll accept your gratitude in his name. Conduct yourself responsibly and soberly and moderately in that office.
Yes.
And you don't need any threats or anything. You just reference that the property is the claim number and the insurance company name there. So you don't have to do. You're going to get your full amount. They may send you a big check. I don't know what they'll do. You could even get the private side bonding out of that. It potentially could happen.
Thanks.
You're very welcome, young man.
Let's see. I have one question. I have a couple, and I'll try to make them brief. But my concern, David, is that I'm currently a notary public, and I haven't really looked at your information. But just briefly regarding the county notary, is there something that you would recommend that I should do? Should I want to change over to a county notary?
No.
Okay.
You're functioning in that capacity for financial reasons, or?
Basically, because of the movement that we're all in. I don't do it outside of...
Okay, you're doing notary presentments?
No, I'm actually doing witnessing signatures and certificate of mailings. Nothing, presentments, no administrative process, basically.
I wouldn't recommend you do those commerce concepts because they're defective.
Okay.
I'm not saying that the notary public office isn't a high office. It is actually a court. But you're going to always run into resistance from the bar flies that want to control all the court activities. Okay, they're going to come after you sooner or later.
Right, I figured that.
Don't worry about being a notary public. It doesn't affect the estate and the executrix offices. Those are two different legal capacities and standings. And what you're doing in the world system as a notary public, a school teacher, a truck driver, an engineer, a computer programmer, or a police officer, a fireman, it doesn't matter. It has no effect on the estate. See? You have the best of both worlds where you can move from one position to the other depending on the situation, say. And you can use the executor's office like Bob did at work. He's still an employee there, but he used it to straighten the payroll situation out where there's no more tax deductions or garnishment there. So that's an example. So as far as you becoming a county notary, you might make a great one, but you can't function in the notary office because you're a woman. I'm sorry.
That's cool. I don't mind.
You can be a notary public, but you cannot be a teacher or a notary.
So if I were to continue to put my to the jurats on these executive letters for family, then it wouldn't be an issue then.
No, as long as you don't do your own, you know that.
Right. I'm well aware of all those. Thank you.
Just make sure your register is up to date.
Yes.
Be very careful because you just might get pulled in for an inspection.
I know. We're well aware of that. We try to be very cautious. My boyfriend's also a notary, and we're very cautious as to everything that we do and exactly what we do. I might want to caution people on the birth certificate issue in Massachusetts and maybe other states that what they actually do, as far as that number goes that you're referencing, they will they take the book out of a three-ring, your birth certificate out of the three-ring binder, and then they put it on bond paper, and the bond paper itself has a number. But you're also you also have a registered number, which is actually on your birth certificate itself, so people shouldn't try to confuse the two. There just might be a little caution there.
Thank you. And in some states, I'm told, they give you get the certificate of birth at the county recorder's office. And it's, I guess it's like a microfilm on a bond paper or something. I don't know. I haven't seen one. The state doesn't issue them, so you're going to have instances where that is. But you might reference like what you were describing, both numbers.
Oh, okay. That'd be interesting.
It can't hurt.
Okay.
But make the file number, the original number, the first one you write down. The bonding number on the outside or the red number elsewhere on that document, which commerce people understand to be the bond number.
Right.
Do not put that on there.
Okay, so that is the bond number. So in other words, if I had five different sources,
that's what you were describing. That's a bond number for
the right. That's the bond. It's on the bond paper. But every time that they, in other words, if I've had five of them in Massachusetts, they come out of the Bureau of Vital Records, and on every time I've gotten a copy, there's a different number because it's obviously the bond paper is numbered. It's sequential.
Right. Right.
So that's in red letters in the top right-hand corner. But
yeah,
there's it's called a registered number, and they actually type that in with the typewriter for the file number that you're referencing.
Yeah, use the file number, not the bond number off of it. And if folks are listening to this later on, they're confused.
Okay.
Again, call the Department of Health, Bureau of Vital Statistics, or whatever it is, and ask them, what is the original file number for this birth registration? And they'll explain to you which one it is.
Okay. Now, I had a question. As far as the, I was denied Social Security disability, and this should be fun.
Chief Counsel, Social Security Administration, I'm going to tell you something. That executor of office is over those trustees.
Very lovely position to be in, isn't it?
Order them to issue the disability.
But I'm not going to specify that. I'm just going to send them the executive letter as it is, correct?
No, you're going to order them to issue the disability.
And that would be within that document?
Yeah, you have to reword it, and this is what you're going to say.
Okay.
You're going to reference the claim number. There probably is one. And you're going to tell them, you are hereby warranted and directed to issue, approve, whatever the terminology is to use, approve and issue the disability claim in full.
Very interesting.
This matter is hereby adjourned.
Well, that made my day in itself, and I'm sure some other people with those questions. Now, you mentioned about the lawyers in a foreclosure case, the ones who initially filed the foreclosure case. I've had separate attorneys come into mine now, and I'll save you the explanation of that. But now I've just been – my foreclosure has just been dismissed, another long story short. So this paperwork would go to both attorneys, both law firms, or the latest attorney in the case? How would you?
Nope. It's a court case. It goes to the state court administrator's office.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I stand corrected. That's
all right.
Okay.
You'll name the two lawyers, and if you have their bar card numbers, put them there. And you just say, attorney at law, bar number. Do it respectively. Don't use my description of private law bar card enrollee in the State Bar Association stuff. It's just my way of sticking the lawyer's eye, you know.
Well, I can't wait to stick it in the judge's eye.
I should take that stuff. Well, if you think about this, as evil as these rascals are, they've been administering the estate because we're not doing it. They're filling in because we've been misfeasant and malfeasant and suffering for it and can't figure out why. And our Father Yahweh has now blessed us with the knowledge. Everything we've been suffering through is our fault. It really is.
Well, we continue to try to educate ourselves, and, you know, we've waited long enough, and I thank you for your message, and that's it for my questions. I'll let someone else have them. Thank you very much, and Angela, thank you. I appreciate everything.
Oh, thank
good
you.
Good questions, generally. They've all been good questions. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
How do I get version 6?
Email me.
Letter?
Email me. Okay. I will return the email. I try to answer all. I know I've got some I haven't. Under my signature, there are links, and down at the bottom of our links is the Google group, and you'll find that in the files section on the Google group. Right under my signature are links to Angela's webpages, and she has them up there too. And there's
well,
links
I got
there.
I got it from Angela's website, and it was version 5.
Okay, now we're up to 7. Version 7.
It's still 6. It's still 6.
Yeah, but I call it version 7. Because
if you don't have, you have 5 on the website.
Not if you check it now.
You changed it?
I changed it earlier today.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah, it's still named version 6 when you download it. It's a PDF. But I put it up on the website as version 6, so everyone, 7, so everyone would know it's the most latest tweet.
So it's on the top of the PDF, it says version 5. It will say version 6?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it will.
All right, okay. I have tax sale certificates recorded in the county. And are they considered abandoned paperwork?
You have what recorded, dear?
The tax collector sold the taxes and to U.S. Bank, and U.S. Bank recorded a tax sale certificate in the county. Now, they didn't mail it to me, but can I use the recorded tax sale certificate, and mail it back?
Is that real estate or school tax or something?
It's property tax.
Property tax, yeah, real estate tax.
Right, right.
Yes.
Where would you?
Yeah, be better if you went in and got a certified copy from the recorder.
Well, I have that too.
Yeah.
I did that a few weeks ago to get a certified copy.
Then you want to return the original of their paperwork. They'll be glad to get it back because it's evidence against them. See?
I don't have the original.
Okay.
They have the original. They have the original.
Right. Send that to the chief counsel of the State Department of Revenue with the executor letter.
Counsel of where? The State Department?
Office of Chief Counsel, Department of Revenue for the state. If it's
now,
a state or local tax issue, that attorney for the Department of Revenue for the corporate state is over all of that.
Now, the tax sale certificate is in my married name, which I'm no longer using. Do I put that name on the top of my letter as my birth name and the married name as the estate?
No, the estate name is always the birth name off the certificate of birth. Down in the lines where it says regarding tax invoice, tax assessment, tax bill, whatever they're calling it. Number so-and-so. That's all you got to put on there.
Okay, I don't have to even reference the name.
Their records connect the marriage to your birth name or the divorce.
Okay.
Yes.
Now,
their computer system will do that.
On the top right-hand corner, there's 4 digits. Do I use those or do I reference the block and lot number, which is also in the document?
What document? The tax bill?
It's tax sale certificate. They have, the town has like 4 numbers up at the top right-hand corner on that certificate. In the body of the certificate itself, it says block and lot number.
I'd use the block and lot number. That other number may be the tax map reference or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. Use the block. There's no account number or invoice number.
I call the town and ask for the account number, they always give the block and lot.
Then that's it. Use that one and call it what it is, block and lot number.
Yeah.
And then the county or the city, wherever that's coming from.
Block and lot and this county? Okay.
If it's a county tax issue, then you'll put the county of.
Oh, the town. The township.
Okay, then it's the township of and the block and lot number.
Now, I'm sending, from what I was trying to do this letter today, I take it I'm not sending this back to the tax collector. And I'm not sending it back to the CFO of the town. I'm sending it to the chief counsel of the Department of Revenue.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that, we believe that will get the most bang for your buck and the quickest response.
Okay, so that explains why that bar bond is in there, because we're all sending, always sending it to an attorney.
Bingo.
Okay. I was wondering, what the heck?
He has an employee bond.
This chief financial officer is not a bar, you know, a barcode, so I was confused. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the green, I have general post office in another town south of here, maybe half an hour away. I would love to be able to get it up here. Now, do I understand you correctly that if I use this address or this location at the top of the letter with the Mariana, with the outlying islands, that when I put this on the green card, it's going to go back if I use the I don't get mail at my home at all. So I just use the address here?
It'll do that zip code. Wherever you put the zip code, that's where it's going to go, no matter what you address put on it.
Okay. So do I take a chance that I can get pick it up at the local post office here?
Not unless you do a change of address to the local one, and it's got to be a main post office. It can't be a satellite or a branch.
Yeah. Yes, I understand that. So I know the office it would go to. But I would put my street address here.
Well, are you going to have the mail delivered to the home, or are you going to be located?
No, I don't want it delivered to the home.
You don't put your street address there.
Eliminate the street address.
Either do that or use the street address of the post office.
Okay. All right. That's what I was going to ask. That's a good idea.
Okay. Do you understand that?
I understand that. Let's get their
some instances, like Dun & Bradstreet, we've registered with on the web. They won't accept general post. They want a street address. So I just put the street address for the cotton picking main post office in there.
I was always tempted to do that. I never did it. Okay. Now.
Yeah. You want it to go to the building anyway.
Yeah. I just don't want to have to drive a half an hour like I've been doing it. I want to do it down here locally.
Do a change of address. You'll have to do a change of address if you want to change post offices.
Do I do it to the I'm getting it South Hackensack right now. Do I do the change of address to South Hackensack?
That's where you want to get it.
Yeah. In other words, they'll just forward it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. You're going to do two. You're going to do from general post in that other town to the general post of the closer town. And then if you want to do another one from the home address and remove the mailbox and the number off the building, then you'll have to do a second one.
Well, I don't have a number on the building here.
Good.
I never changed my mailing address. I put a new door in. There's no slot. There's no number. And I stopped the mail. As far as they know, I never changed the mail address.
Atta girl.
Pardon?
Atta girl.
This is years now. So should I do the change of address here locally?
No, you're not doing any. You're not getting any mail delivered to your home.
Okay. So I don't have to. So I just do it to South Hackensack, the general post office down there.
Yes.
All right.
You get general post by start having mail sent to that general post location. If you just want to use it, you can do a change of address or not. You can be located at both. You can get the fiction mail at home delivered, or the office, or some mailboxes plus, or UPS store if you want to pay for all
that. I have one of those. Yeah, I have one of those.
Okay. And you can also use general post. It's an option. But when you have those other worldly mail portals, and that's where they are. They're portals for the world to come in to harass you, say. But they can't come to General Post. The bank.
They try. They believe me, they try.
Well, sure. If you have a mortgage, the bank won't like you changing to General Post. They don't like that. Because they know they can't then come after you with a foreclosure or late payments or any of that stuff.
for public service. I could never get them to change my address. Finally, they started using 9999. They're sending it to the
General
Post Office at 9999.
No, that's general delivery. That's the postmaster for the postal service at general delivery at the post office. It's 9999. You use 9998. That's the postmaster at general post office. You.
Okay. I always thought it was the other way around.
No. If you can find somewhere on a postal service or system that I'm incorrect, then show me. I've checked that several times.
Well, what I established was that after a certain number, I think it was 99600 or something like that, there's no more numbers. Anything over that is foreign. I found this on the census site.
Yeah.
I can find
actually,
it. Have you seen that?
I think I've seen zip plus 8 digits following. Something
no,
like
I'm talking about the original five numbers.
The original zip code.
Yeah, the first five. That's what I'm talking about. Oh,
something
I see what you're saying. The 9999. Now maybe I'm confused. I'll have to check it out, and I'll let you know if I find
it. It looks like zip plus 4 is now going to zip plus 8, because I've seen a zip code and a hyphen for, I think, government mail with like 8 digits after the 5-digit zip code. So it's not really zip 4 anymore. It kind of looks like it's changed to zip 8. And I think they're doing that zeroing in on the residents of the door that the Cotton Pickens Census Bureau census takers are going around and lighting everybody's doorway up with that laser beam on that GPS device they're using and recording the GPS coordinates.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, is there any specific, do I use the executor letter to change my address?
It probably isn't necessary if you use General Post, United States Money, or Outlying Islands. They're going to understand that because they'll type it into their computer and it'll come be approved. They won't understand it, but it will come up as a valid mailing location.
So how would I do that? By just an ordinary letter?
No, you do a change of address card, or you change your return address, or on all the mail you're doing, that's your return address now. And so any correspondence you get from that entity, wherever it is, or personal correspondence, will then go to General Post at the United States Money or Outlying Islands. If it's an account somewhere or magazine subscription or whatever, a club or an organization or something you belong to, you just send them a change of address.
Okay, don't bother doing it with the post office then.
No, it's not really necessary unless you want to stop having your mail delivered at home. You want to switch everything
at home. Okay, I see what you're saying.
I get public service calls.
Call public service and tell them to change the address.
You
and they won't think
those.
I'm crazy?
No.
No? How much of this address do I give them?
The whole thing.
The whole, all those lines?
Yeah.
Really? Okay, just leave out the street address. Use the street address of the post office.
You're now on the nation, ma'am. You're out of the corporate state.
And they'll be able to do that.
You're going back to the land where you were put on with your landmarks in the bottom of your feet, where you belong.
Okay.
Use nation, state, general post. If you want to put the street address to the main post office there, then use that in a town, United States Minor Outlying Islands, near, and periods after all those, and then a zip code plus 9998 in brackets. That's the change of address location.
Okay.
If they don't have enough spaces on a change of address card for all that stuff, then just sign and date the cotton picking card and attach it to an executor letter or any other letter, and just request, put the address that's to be changed to on the letter. If they don't have enough blocks in their stupid card.
David, I had a few questions. A couple weeks ago, I had sent my executrix letter in, and I sent it to the court administrator. I'm getting ready to be evicted out of my home, and they put it in my court case. So what do I do in that instance?
You sent it properly to the local court administrator?
Well, that's another thing. I don't know if it was properly, because let me tell you what happened. I always have my notary send things.
No. Not this. Not this.
No, I mean, I had it addressed properly back, okay? But it's just a habit. I always have her, because prior she had sent out things, notary presentment. Okay, that's just the way I've always had it done. And but the stamps were not put on.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so that's what I'm wondering. Is that why it ended up in the court case?
It may. I don't know. The barflies filed it in the file. Redo it and send it to the state court administrator this time, and do it properly and mail it yourself and make sure there's stamps on there.
Okay, now, since I will not have the originals this time, just get them certified copies. Is that what I do?
Or you have copies that you made?
Yes.
And then just send them copies.
Okay.
Attach a copy of the first executor's letter to the, or include it. Don't attach. Don't staple anything. Just include it in there. Put a paper clip on it. Do not staple anything to the executor letter.
Okay. And one other question. I had heard you earlier with a caller, and I couldn't jot it down quick enough. She was asking you about her Social Security. Well, the reason I'm in the mess I am, I had worked for the government prior, 7.5 years ago, and I was a whistleblower. And I have been fighting workers' comp for 7.5 years. It's federal, so like I said, that's why I've been fighting it. And I am getting Social Security disability, but that's not enough to make a mortgage payment. That's why I'm in the mess I'm in. So
executrix letter. Do you have a husband?
No, I'm divorced.
Do an executrix letter to what is the federal agency that the it's
OWCP.
The what?
The OWCP. Ohio Workers.
Office.
Workers' Compensation. It's Office of. It's OWCP. The Ohio Workers. Yeah, compensation program. I think it's what. Yeah.
Why is it federal?
Because I worked for Homeland Security.
Okay. What insurance entity would make the disability payments? Workers' comp. What entity is going to pay that?
It's through Homeland Security, because it's a mental claim because of I was threatened with life. It's mental disability. Yeah, I had breakdown because of what they did to me. I mean,
whistleblower harassment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Homeland Security is not. Would they be approving the claim?
Yeah. See, they have already. Workers' Comp has already approved that. What they did to me. They have already acknowledged that the harassment had taken place. They've already acknowledged all that. And
okay.
Through mediation, I was approved the whole bit. And now I have all the evidence I need, but workers' comp, like I said, they've just been fighting me every step of the way because they don't want to pay all my back pay. They just don't want to go back all that time. And they'll fight me every step of the way. Federal is terrible. And even Homeland Security said they're not going to fight workers' comp at all. So they're not fighting it. It's workers' comp that's dragging their feet. Like I said, they've acknowledged everything happened, even workers' comp has. They pay for all my medication, but it's the pay I'm trying to get now.
Proving part of it, not all of it. That's cute.
I know.
Are they under another department? Census is under Commerce, you know, and stuff like that. Or are they under another department?
Oh, I don't know. Well, you know, it's like, BWC, but on the federal level. Business of work, you know, workers' compensation, but it's on the federal side, so.
I've never had experience with that. I can't really direct you to the right office. If you have to go find out who the chief counsel is for the Workmen's Compensation Bureau Department. But chances are there's an overseeing entity above them, and you want to go to the office of chief counsel of the entity above them. They will bring them into line. You can copy it to Homeland Security Chief Counsel if you want to. You can send it certified or not.
Now, what documentation would you send along with this? Because should I send the documentation where they said they acknowledged that this was done to me and yada, yada, yada?
If they've acknowledged that you, in fact, have a valid claim, then send that documentation along, but don't call it abandoned or arrogated paperwork.
Okay.
Don't call it that. You don't want to nullify that paperwork because that's working in your advantage, to your advantage. Where you use abandoned and arrogated paperwork terminology is when it's something that's not to your advantage.
Okay.
So you're going to have to reword the letter, take out erroneous statement, allege, and all that other stuff. What you want to do is what I told the other lady or the gentleman to do, is you are hereby warranted, and this claim is approved, or whatever language I used there. And then you will say the claim is hereby adjourned, like it is in the executor letter. Go back in the archives and re-listen to where I, after Angela posted, where I told that man use language similar to that. And leave the part in about the bonding, the second paragraph. Leave that in there, even though it's to your advantage, because that tells them you're aware of all that. And they need to get their act together. Or what you're doing is you're threatening their bonds without saying you're threatening them. Say.
Oh, well, yeah, in a nice way.
Yes.
You know what I was thinking, as when I said Ohio, it's the Office of Workers' Compensation is what OWCP stands for. I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah, it's Office of Workers' Compensation is what OWCP stands for.
Is that a state or a federal office?
Federal.
Okay. Find a chief counsel.
Okay.
And then go online and check that office and see if they're underneath another office, or call them on Monday and find out if they are.
Yeah, because I know where their headquarters are, so I'll I can find out who their chief counsel is. And okay, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, dear.